I'm going to just do a really short devotion, okay? And then we're going to let these wild young musicians take off here. But I was thinking about how do you live the victorious Christian life? We all want to do that. We all want to make every day count for the Lord. We all want to, when we lay our head on our pillow at night, we want to think that the Lord is pleased with what we did throughout this day. So I want to speak to, briefly, how do you live a victorious Christian life? And if I were to ask you what is the secret to it, I would probably hear these kind of things from you. I would probably hear, because I've heard it preached many times, the secret to an exciting spiritual life is to have a good prayer time. Prayer time is very important. But if you're already praying and you don't feel like you're having a victorious life, then somebody would probably say, well, you need to pray a little more. Or somebody else might say the secret to a victorious Christian life is to having good devotions, daily. And I have devotions daily. But I don't think that's the secret to it, to an exciting, dynamic life. Maybe it's... doing something in the name of Jesus every day. Somebody might tell you, you know, you don't lay your head down on the pillow at night unless you've shared Jesus with somebody evangelistically or whatever. A good thing, but I don't think it's the secret. Because I believe in my life, if I have a good prayer life, if I have a good devotional life, if I have an outreach in my life, I can have all of those three things and more and still be a huge disappointment to the Lord and to myself because of sin that's in my life that's maybe hidden. Other people don't see it, but I know it's there. God knows it's there, and it could just be, I could still lead a defeated life. So what is the secret? I believe Jesus gives us a really good clue when he says, tells us who is the greatest man who ever walked the face of the earth. And do we know who that is? You Bible scholars, I see a lot of heads nodding. Jesus said the greatest man who ever walked the face of the earth was John the Baptist. So we look to John the Baptist as a guide to see how a victorious Christian life is. And here's the funny thing about his life. When you look at his life, what you see is a lot of things that you would expect to see that aren't there. We would expect to see, since he was a prophet, we would expect to see some miracles. You know, you think of all the miracles that Elijah and all the other prophets did. You think of Moses and parting the Red Sea and all these exciting things. And you look at John the Baptist's life and you don't see any of that. You don't see anything. Well, what else do you see in the life of somebody in the Bible that is, you know, we hold to high, you know, levels? You think of the passion that David had, King David had, and the courage that he had and the battles that he fought. And you go on and on through the different people in the Bible, and you look at John the Baptist's life, you don't see any of that. But there is one thing that you see in his life that I think is what Jesus is pointing to when he points to a successful and a victorious Christian life. And that is John the Baptist is always pointing his finger at Jesus. Everything, every conversation he has with people, it goes back to Jesus. He's in the desert or preaching to people. People are coming out to him, and here comes Jesus. And what's the first thing John the Baptist says when he sees Jesus Christ? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I think it's that confession and that belief that John has in Jesus that is so important that Jesus names him as the best man that ever walked the face of the earth. And another thing that John says a little bit later on, he has his own group of disciples too, and little by little his disciples leave him and go and start following Jesus. One of them is Andrew. The disciple Andrew was John the Baptist's disciple. And a couple of people said, John, I notice your people are leaving you and they're going to Jesus. What do you have to say about that? It was almost a critical question, like, what are you doing wrong that Jesus is doing right? And John says another interesting thing. He says, he must become greater, I must become lesser. So we think of those two statements that John makes, and we don't know a whole lot more about him. We know that he basically grew up in the desert. He had eats locusts and wild honey. Not a popular guy, kind of a hermit, eccentric type of a guy. But Jesus says, this is the greatest man that's ever walked on the face of the earth. So what is the reason for his greatness? It goes back to the point that on his compass, he doesn't have an arrow pointing to N for north. He has an arrow pointing to J for Jesus. Everything that he does, everything that he did, focused on Jesus. It is his belief and his faith in Jesus Christ that makes him the greatest man that walked on the face of the earth. So what does that tell us? It tells us that we need to be less concerned about trying to do things ourselves to please Jesus. It's not about how many chapters of the Bible we read. It's not about how many hours we pray. It's not about how many people we witness to. It's about our faith in Jesus Christ, our belief in him. Is our compass always pointing to J? That's what's important. That's what pleases the Lord. So one of the most misunderstood points in the Christian life is that it's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's about him. It's about what he has already done. And us just believing and accepting that, we don't have to have the glory of doing miracles, the glory of parting the Red Sea. We don't have to bring down fire from heaven, any of those things. We just have to believe. And that's all that Jesus wants from us. He wants us to believe and trust in him and focus our life on him. Look to him in times of happiness. Look to him in times of sadness. Look to him in times when we're distressed. But always keep our compass pointed towards him. And he's happy with us. He says, not only does he say John the Baptist is the greatest man that set foot on the face of the earth, but he also says the least of those in the kingdom of God is greater than him. So what is he saying? He's saying to the future generations, which is to us, he can be just as pleased or even more pleased than us than he was in John the Baptist if we'll just do the same thing John did. Focus on him. Keep our compass pointed at him. Don't try to earn our way and earn our way into heaven, earn our way into his pleasure and his grace. Just say, Lord, I know I'm nothing, but if you want to use me and bless me, I'm willing to receive the blessing, and I'm here and happy to accept it. So there's my little devotion. I think so many times people try to work so hard to try to please God. It's not necessary. He's done all the work. We just need to believe in him. That is our work. And before I close out, let me just, I talked about Bible reading and prayer and things like that. I'm not discounting the importance of those. I'm discounting the motivation of those. Those things should be done because of what Jesus did for us. We should do it out of a spirit of thanksgiving. When I got up this morning, I read my devotions, but I didn't do it out of duty. I did it because I wanted to, because I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done for me. It's an overflow of the thankfulness that I have for what he's done for me. So I wanted to mention that too, because I don't want you leaving here saying, Kurt said, don't read the Bible. Kurt said, don't pray. That's not the point. Do it because you're thankful for what the Lord has already done for you. Amen?